Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically.
And if you're not watching on YouTube and you don't have a picture into what we're doing right now, we have some Bundt cakes.
Yes. They're chocolate-covered strawberries. Yummy. It's the flavor of the month.
Yes. Love it. Yeah. Because Valentine's Day is
coming up
in February. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put these away.
Yep.
Give us a moment. Okay.
Okay.
Don't want them drying out before we can eat them.
That's right.
So,
So February, in addition to being the month that we're celebrating our 100th anniversary,
yes,
it is also the month of love. Of course, we just celebrated Valentine's Day.
We did.
It's a really busy month if you think about it. We think about February as that month where we get the worst weather, and it's kind of, we're ready for spring.
It's a long month,
even though it's a short month. Yeah. It feels long. But it's Black History Month.
Yes.
It's American Heart Month.
Yes.
We have a President's Day.
We do.
We had a Super Bowl.
We did have a Super Bowl.
We had Groundhog's Day. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow is National Leadership Day.
Yeah, the 20th of February is National Leadership Day. So. Yeah. Kind of a cool tie-in to our 100th episode.
Yes, yeah.
So because of that, we wanted to talk about our leadership journey and just kind of give a window into how we got to where we are, right?
Right.
In our roles.
And it has so much to do with how this podcast got started.
That's right. How we got to know each other
initially.
So it
really is about,
has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Serving on the Board of Realtors and in those various leadership roles that you've had, I've had, and some that we've shared together.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a little fun with this, just, you know, going back into time and trying to remember some key points about how we got to where we are today.
Yeah. You know, we try to ask all of our guests some leadership questions.
We do.
So we thought it would be fun if we kind of answered some questions along those lines too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You want to start or you want me to start?
I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
I'm going to put you in the hot seat.
Put me in the hot seat. All right. Okay.
So tell me this. When you think about today, when you think about where you got to where you are today, there's lots of years that have shaped.
Not shame me.
No, hopefully not shamed you. Shaped.
Yes.
Lots of years and different roles that have shaped you into who you are. Tell me about just a couple of thoughts of what helped mold you into the leader you are today. What or who?
Yeah.
There might be mentors along the way.
Absolutely.
So what job roles or who were those people? And just give us a little snippet into that.
Yeah, and you're right. I think people probably more than the position have helped shape me. I mean, I can go all the way back to high school and playing in high school sports. And just I feel like I've always been in a leadership role my entire life. I've been in, I'm the oldest child. Oldest grandchild. So I feel like I've always been in this role.
Yeah.
But I think it's important, and we as individuals need to be sure that we're watching and pointing out when others have the ability to lead, because that's what happened with me. You know, it was just sort of innate. I was a leader at all levels. But then eventually somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, have you thought about, you know, would you want to do this?
Yeah.
And I think that's important for all of us to remember that there are people out there who have the skill set, they have, you know, maybe they don't have all the training. None of us do, right? Many times we're thrust into a role that we don't ourselves feel like we're prepared for, but you get prepared. When life hands you these opportunities, hopefully you say yes and you step into that role and you learn as you go sometimes. But I think it's important as leaders that we're watching for that next generation, if you will, of leaders, somebody who shows some promise and some talent, and that we're tapping them on the shoulder to step into those. It really is. Yeah. It really is. And so that's what has happened to me along the way. And whether it be at the chamber, I was asked to lead the economic partnership at in Sertoma. I was eventually president of that and president at GSBOR and leadership roles. And, you know, ultimately, I think my responsibility as leader of my company is the most important leadership role I have, because I'm in constant contact with realtors from my own brokerage, from other brokerages, from people around the state. And I think they look to us, those of us who've been in that position for a while, to get their cues on, you know, if they're a new broker, how do they want to handle things? So, you know, so I've had lots of opportunities to lead, and every place I've been along the way, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, you should think about this and you should do this. And I, when I was younger, I said yes a lot more readily than I do today, just because, you know, it's a different season, if you will.
You're right.
So I just think it's really important that if you're tapped on the shoulder, let's take this from two different perspectives. As leaders, we've already established it's important for us to highlight those people who may have some potential. If you are in a position where someone taps you on the shoulder and says you should consider this, please don't laugh them off or diminish yourself and say, no, I could never do that. Or, you know, take it to heart. If someone else sees something in you, then you need to understand that they probably wouldn't say that if they didn't honestly feel like you had potential to do something. And I don't think as leaders we want to lead things better than we found them. So we've got to find the right leaders to come behind us. And so we're not tapping people on the shoulder who we don't feel like are have the potential or the ability.
No. And I can confidently say that that statement is true, right? So in our trajectory through the board positions that we held, we were constantly around other realtors, other realtor members, other brokers, and that's how you got to know people, right?
Right.
And meeting new people and seeing potential versus maybe a red flag in another person, you know, I think it is our job as leaders to provide the next chain of leadership,
right,
and to make sure we're asking those who show signs of good qualities of leading others. But it's also our job to maybe warn about other signs we see if someone would maybe mention someone's name to you or I and say, you know, I think Susie would be a good next step into the chain of leadership at the board, you know, on the board of directors. And you and I had seen something that did not prove that to be so.
Right.
We would then need to be honest about, okay, you know, tell me why you feel that way.
Right.
Tell me what Susie has shown to you and why you think she would be the next person in line, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because I think that people act differently around different groups of people. So, you know, hopefully, you know, someone who sees some potential in someone who has seen, you know, hopefully they're exhibiting that behavior to everyone they're around.
That's right.
But sometimes they don't.
No.
So it's really good to get some different perspectives. And like I said, you know, if you're tapping someone on the shoulder, maybe before you do that, you inquire if others have seen the same thing that you have before. Because we all want, again, to leave it better than we found it. So we want to make sure we're leaving it in good, solid hands.
Right.
And even if they're not, again, most of us, would you say you were prepared for every position you ever went into?
Oh, heavens no.
No. I wouldn't either.
No.
But you figured it out.
In fact, I would probably say I was not prepared in more of the leadership positions that I've taken in my life versus being completely prepared to take that on.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. If you wait, if you're waiting because you don't feel like you're prepared, you'll never get there. You'll just never. Sometimes you just got to take that leap of faith in yourself and step forward and hopefully it works out. And most of the time it does.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're the thing is that most of the time in any leadership role you're in, you are going to be surrounded by a group of people who have already been there, done that, mm-hmm. some way, yes. It's you know, if it's at the board, obviously you have this whole slew of presidents that have come before you that right. Any one of them would be happy to help you.
Right.
But if you're taking on a leadership role in your company, somebody's done that before.
That's right.
And most likely they're going to be willing to help you.
Yes, I agree with that. Do you think when you were thinking about this episode and thinking about your leadership roles in the past, how would you explain the difference between who you are now and who you were 10 years ago?
It's very different. And I think if somebody tells you their leadership style hasn't changed, then either they don't recognize it or they're lying because, mm-hmm. well, we age, right? We mm-hmm. automatically, the leader I was in high school, college, I was, it's my way or the highway. Yeah. I mean, truly, but yeah. that's also part of being in your 20s.
Yeah.
So you evolve as a person, you evolve as a leader. If you're a good leader, you're constantly trying to improve your leadership skills. Mm-hmm. You're reading, you're listening to podcasts, you are mm-hmm. collaborating with other leaders, you are asking questions, mm-hmm. My leadership style now is, I think, much different from 10 years ago mm-hmm. and really, really different from 20 years ago. And I think mostly I'm more patient in terms of I can recognize leadership skills in someone mm-hmm. but I know they need some guidance and some help, and I am all about giving that. Mm-hmm. I want to guide and lead if I see somebody who has great potential and maybe they just never had a mentor in their life sure. or never had training. So I think I'm a more patient, I approach it differently and in a good way, mm-hmm. And I would also say, I think you and I were the same when we started our leadership journey at the board. I have also learned to listen a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I think took some time for me to, sometimes we feel like we have to prove ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we think that by walking in and thinking we know it all, mm-hmm. that we already have all the answers and everybody else has been doing things wrong mm-hmm. all these years, that we're going to show those people just how much we do know. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you listen more and you're more contemplative, I think it shows respect and deference to the people who have led before you because mm-hmm. they didn't burn it down.
Right.
It's still there,
right.
And we've had good leaders in the past. Now, what can we do to build on that? Mm-hmm. What about you? Do you see yourself as a different leader than you were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, I can still recognize the person 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. 25 or 30 years ago, I have a hard time recognizing that person, but I did learn some valuable lessons back then. So let me answer your question first. I think I would say the same as you. I've learned to listen, and I've learned to discern things differently. I think that in this business, before you've had many years in it, every experience is different, right?
Right.
We can't sit here as realtors and tell you that our job is hard and you understand it. You have to walk in our shoes.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the general public thinks this is an easy job.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that some of the best lessons you learn as a realtor are the ones that are the hard deals and are the difficult people on the other side, whether mm-hmm. it be an agent or a seller or buyer, whichever mm-hmm. side you're on mm-hmm. the fence. Mm-hmm. So I think that over time in any business, you learn better how to deal with the hard subjects, the mm-hmm. hard topics, mm-hmm. it's hard to call a buyer or seller and give them bad news.
Right.
it's hard sometimes to work with another agent who is maybe not handling the situation the best way possible, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We have all taken this job very personally. Mm-hmm. And you eventually get to a point, which is kind of the point that I'm talking about. We've elevated ourselves because we've had so many years in the business, mm-hmm. to be the leader in the conversation and maybe in the deal and maybe in the boardroom, that you're speaking from a less emotional side, mm-hmm. and more of a teaching side of true. What, you know, what can we do? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are our options here? Mm-hmm. Instead of, my people feel this way and this is what I want to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand that your people feel like this. My people feel like this. What can you and I do to get them to meet in the middle? What is that we need to do? So in leadership and thinking about 10 years ago, Tanya, to now, I've learned to discern the situation before I open my mouth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't have that time.
Right.
Right? Sometimes it's a, here's a situation, what do you want to do?
Right.
You know, I mean, many times you can't right. say, let me think on that and call you right back.
Yeah.
You know, many times you have to just roll with that.
Right.
But I do think a pause and a thought-provoking attitude of, mm-hmm. okay, let me work through this out loud in my brain, mm-hmm. and not assuming that you're going to win, that you're right.
Right.
Right?
Right. Because it's not about wins or losses. It's not about whether you're in the boardroom. You bring up a good point, which is negotiation, in terms of, you know, our job, our everyday job is based on our ability to negotiate.
Yep.
But you are also negotiating when you are sitting in the boardroom,
yep.
or you're leading any organization or committee or whatever. You have to navigate those waters and bring people together. That's your job as a leader. Mm-hmm. So negotiation is part of any leadership role, and listening to the other side and trying to bring those two parties together, because everybody around the table thinks they're right. Mm-hmm. Whatever their view is, they think that's the only way to look at that. Mm-hmm. I think I grew so much from listening to different perspectives, mm-hmm. because I only have one. And mm-hmm. and your perspective is based on your upbringing and your experiences and your, you know, what's happened to you in this world. Mm-hmm. And someone else may have a completely different perspective. And I just learned to walk into the room, no matter what room it is, knowing that I know how I feel right now. Mm-hmm. I know what my opinion is right now. Mm-hmm. But I am not so bullheaded and strong-willed that I won't accept that maybe someone else has a different perspective, and I might change my mind accordingly.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I would add to that and say I have learned a lot about myself in a mm-hmm. leadership role mm-hmm. by listening to the other side.
Yeah.
And hearing it out. And sometimes you don't have to make a decision right then, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do get to sleep on it. Or in our case, sometimes a month would go by before we'd have another board meeting
right.
about that subject. Mm-hmm. So I think that listening to the adversary's opinion mm-hmm. and hearing the whole table out versus just going in with, well, my vote is no, mm-hmm. and here's why.
Yeah.
It really taught me a lot about maybe better ways to approach things by mm-hmm. listening to the other opinion on the table.
Yeah.
And maybe the opposite opinion of my own. Mm-hmm. And also that opens your eyes to a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we do like to be in control. Mm-hmm. We know how we feel. Mm-hmm. We might rarely be swayed by another's differing opinion, mm-hmm. but it certainly can help us maybe futuristically approach things differently.
Yeah.
By knowing, okay, here's how I feel, but I'd like to hear the other opinions mm-hmm. at the table, instead of going in with, well, this is how I feel and I don't care how they feel.
Right. Right. Right.
That's one big key takeaway from my experience mm-hmm. of leadership mm-hmm. in general. And that could go to my office with my agents mm-hmm. that's applicable there because right. everybody feels differently.
Right.
Definitely in the boardroom. We learned mm-hmm. that many times. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like I was probably a little scared to give my opinion in the beginning, in those beginning years. We've mm-hmm. talked about that several times, that you're the fresh fish at the table mm-hmm. and not really having an opinion or thinking you have this opinion, but you don't really have a lot to support that.
Right.
You don't really have a voice yet. Mm-hmm. And you do have a voice, but sometimes that could be in the form of a question.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Right. Like, I was thinking this, but I've not sat here for 5 years like all of you have.
Right.
Am I wrong in that thought?
Yeah.
And you might learn a lot from that approach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important to, you know, when I think back about the people who I really want to emulate, who I think about, you know, we all have mentors, whether they are established as mentors or just by virtue of the fact that I see you from afar and I appreciate how you're leading mm-hmm. and I want to be more like you. When I mm-hmm. think about those kind of characteristics in people and leaders that I want to emulate, it is the ability to, it's their ability to make everyone feel heard mm-hmm. at the table mm-hmm. and then bring those collective thoughts together. And if you're really, really good at this, people don't even know that that's really what's happening. Right. You open the conversation, you allow everyone to feel safe in what they have to say, mm-hmm. and even the newbies at the table, they need to know that their voice matters and that you are willing to listen to a new perspective. Mm-hmm. Because one reason we created the Leadership Academy at the Board of Realtors was because we were recycling leaders. Mm-hmm. If you recycle leaders over and over and over again, how can you ever go anywhere? Mm-hmm. You can't.
No.
It's impossible to grow, to expand, to think of things, other ways to give something to your membership or you know, have opportunities for your membership if you are constantly, because you're just going to be surrounded with the same thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those people at that point are usually tired and they're tired of talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just going to check the box and fill in their time. It doesn't mean they're bad leaders. It just means I've been here and I've done this. And so why would we do anything different?
And this is how we've always done it.
Yes.
I think that became the problem with recycling the same leaders
mm-hmm.
is the opinions at the table had never changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of knew, maybe as the new guy going in with a new problem, they were just going to treat that new problem like they've treated the old mm-hmm. problems in the mm-hmm. past mm-hmm. and maybe not approach it in a way with a newer vision mm-hmm. behind it.
Yeah.
And we all get into patterns of behavior.
Right.
And, you know, you and I are guilty of that as
sure.
well. But I think that, in my opinion, that's what makes a good leader is if you've been in the same role, you've served on the same board, you've been at the same table, and there's been a few seats shuffle in and out, it is a new day. It is a new year.
Mm-hmm.
There are new ways of doing everything.
Right.
And I think, you know, our technology in our world alone proves mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you can't just go into everything with the same old opinion.
Right. Right.
If you were to tell your younger self one tip,
mm-hmm.
your 25-year-old self, mm-hmm. let's go back to 25,
mm-hmm.
because I have a story of when I was 25
mm-hmm.
and something that I've never forgotten of a choice I made,
mm-hmm.
leading.
Yeah.
What would you, can you remember anything back that far?
Don't be so freaking afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
yeah.
you know, when I was 25, I came from a very small town, rural town, and I was a big fish in a small pond, right? I played sports. I did all the things. So I was popular, whatever that means.
Forever.
But I know. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, I didn't have to, Yeah. And then I went to college and...
You had confidence.
I had great confidence coming out of high school. And then I went away to college to this big university that I didn't know anyone.
And nobody knew
And nobody knew me. Yeah. And I quickly found myself in this little shell that, okay, I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna, I built my little community of people and I'm going to do my thing. But somewhere along the way, I lost that leader in me, if you will. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated from college and I found myself selling real estate, and I had lost that confidence and I was afraid to speak up or voice my opinion. And that's what I would tell myself, is that your voice matters. And I too have a story about even going back further that really instilled in me that, you know, everybody's voice matters. Mm-hmm. And I just lost that.
Mm. Okay.
What about you?
I reflected on my first leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like you, did different things in high school and college that I think I was pretty confident.
Mm-hmm.
But my first real job, I was an x-ray tech, mm-hmm. and I came into a clinic, working for a clinic, and we were a work comp clinic. So not everybody comes into a work comp clinic needing an x-ray.
Okay.
So I sat around a lot of the time, uh-huh. and there's one characteristic that drives me crazy about a job, and it's boredom.
Mm-hmm.
If something is slow and I'm bored, I'm finding something to do.
Yeah.
So I quickly taught myself how to run the clinic, mm-hmm. in essence.
Mm-hmm.
We had a drug screening side. We had we did EKGs and drug screening and different pulmonary tests over there.
Okay.
Trained myself in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Trained myself how to run the front desk. Trained myself how to run the checkout desk. Trained myself how to be a nurse assistant, which is essentially what the medical assistant terminology is these days. And taking patients' vitals and taking them back to the room. And I already knew how to do all that. But I taught myself how to do everything in the clinic so that I could stay busy during the day.
Gotcha.
Well, this got me a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And the clinic administrator hired me as the assistant administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And she was having a hysterectomy at some point after I was in this role.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks. And I was in a full-on panic of, oh my gosh, I don't know how to be the administrator, of the clinic and do all the things that she does. And so she has her hysterectomy. She is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first week she was gone, one of our nurses came in and quit. Do you think I knew how to handle that?
I'm going to guess not.
I am certain I was flustered. I got red in the face,
uh-huh.
could have been shaky a little bit. I was so mad that this girl had, and I mean, the writing was on the wall.
Okay.
She purposely waited to quit
okay.
when the administrator was gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just, like, I'll give my resignation to the not so important one who doesn't have a clue what she's doing, being completely in charge.
Right.
Anyway, I handled it poorly, and the way I handled it was I was rude to her.
Mm-hmm.
I treated her. She gave a notice, and she didn't just walk out that day. But I was not very kind to her for mm-hmm. her 2 weeks, if mm-hmm. she was there 2 weeks. I don't remember that now. But
yeah,
she gave her notice. And, there are better jobs out there for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I took it personal.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that would be my, looking back at my younger self, that wasn't personal.
Right.
I mean, could she have given Gloria the resignation the week before? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I promise she had the job the week before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she waited to give it to me.
Yeah.
And I took it personally, and I just was cold and probably rude and mm-hmm. just was not accepting of it.
Mm-hmm.
And And also, looking back, it also led me down a growth path, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's going to be things that happen when you're in whatever role you're in or whatever job you're in that you don't expect.
Right.
And you have to pivot, or you have to start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so I had to not only post a new job opening, I had to figure out how we were going to get by with... Yeah. You know, with one less staff mm-hmm. in the meantime. I mean, there were so many things that I probably learned from that. Mm-hmm. So instead of viewing it as, oh, I'm going to learn a lot, mm-hmm. I panicked and was just rude.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, so we grow from those things.
We do. We do.
But looking back, I'm reflecting on us being leaders at the board, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. were involved in two transitions of leadership there yes. where we lost our CEO.
Right, right.
And one of them was abrupt, mm-hmm. and that was the one that I was not involved with. Mm-hmm. And the other one, we had plenty of time.
Right.
I want to say he stayed 4 to 6 months after he quit.
Yeah.
Resigned, and just to help us find somebody new and to stay on.
Right.
So how did you handle situations like that in the past?
Well, I certainly think that taking things personal is something we all struggle with, because I feel like that, you know, whether it's a listing we don't get, or it's somebody doesn't accept a job offer that we make to them, or, you know, what is it about us that they're not choosing? And many times it doesn't have anything to do with us.
Right.
It is something that's happening in their life that they, you know, are dealing with. And when it comes to those positions at the board, as we were talking about, you know, discussing what we were going to talk about on the episode today, mm-hmm. of course, that was one of the most challenging things we ever had to do as a leadership at the Board of Realtors, because you're right, one was really abrupt. We didn't know anything. We didn't know where the keys were to the building. We didn't know, you know, you've got to step in and you've got to take over this. And we really didn't have the... we didn't have the tools to do that right away.
Right.
And then the other, you know, graciously, we had some time, and that mm-hmm. afforded us some time to really make sure we got the right fit. But when you're many times in your leadership journey, you are going to be presented with something like that, mm-hmm. where you have to, and you're representative of however many, you know, doesn't matter if you're serving on a board that serves 3,000 or 30,000, you are there for a reason, and that is to truly represent all of those people. Mm-hmm. So it's not about me finding the best fit for me, it's about me finding the best fit for all of these people that I mm-hmm. represent. And that was what the burden was mm-hmm. of those decisions, was we need to find somebody who is the right fit for our organization right now, who can step in and lead us and represent all 3,000 or however many people mm-hmm. at this time. And so curveballs, when it comes, I think leaders really stand out when they get thrown a curveball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do they take it personally? Do they get angry and upset? Most of the time, when we sit back and we look at what those challenges are that we have had in our leadership journey, like you, we learn something from it. Mm-hmm. If we are really willing to sit back and assess, evaluate how we performed or what we could have done better. Mm-hmm. Think about this. If you had been the leader you are today, I would guess that you would take that person that came to you and said, I'm giving my notice, you would want to find out things like, mm-hmm. why are you leaving? Is there anything that we could have done better? Did you, mm-hmm. are you missing, you know, you want to know what are the missing pieces. And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just that they just got this phenomenal offer somewhere else and they love your company, but you need to ask those questions, because if somebody feels that way, mm-hmm. it's likely that there are others within your organization that feel that way.
Yeah,
so you've got to ask those questions. So I think that we have to, you know, learn not to take things personally and ask the right questions and see every challenge as an opportunity. And I think, again, that's something I didn't do as much 10 years ago as I do now. Mm-hmm. And that's just growth, and that's wisdom and age, and also growth in a leadership as a leader.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. If I were to give any advice to younger people, and it doesn't even have to be younger people. There are many, many leaders that are a lot older than us that could be stepping into a new role.
Sure.
So it would be that you've got to find the methods to which you listen and to which you make decisions and knowing your audience. So your example of the Board of Realtors, we can't wear our company hat in there and make decisions based on Century 21 and Southwest Missouri Realty.
Right.
Is that always in our thought process? Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
Of what would I like to see?
Sure.
What serves our company the best? But you really have to take yourself out of it, and you have to consider others' opinions and others' state of where they sit and see this from. And who you're actually making decisions on behalf of.
Yeah, yeah. So as we try to start wrap this thing up, Tanya, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would want our listeners to think about as they're going on their leadership journey? We've talked about having patience, asking the right questions, being a good negotiator, understanding the people in the room and asking them to, or creating a space where they have a comfort level that they can voice their opinion. Is there anything else that we've missed?
Being a good listener.
Yeah.
Definitely, sometimes you need to listen more than you talk.
I'd say most of the time.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I think people look at leaders and they think the leader is the one who's talking the most, which is most of the time not true. A good leader is, to me, is really sitting back, keeping their own opinion out of the discussion,
correct,
until which time it becomes important for you to voice where you are where you stand.
That's right.
I guess. But because I think about the leaders who come in boisterous and somebody who always has to talk at the table, and I think that's not the leader I want to emulate.
Mm-mm. No, and speaking from experience, when you sit at the head of the table, it is not your job to be the one talking. It is your job to get the whole room to talk and to get the whole table to give an opinion. And for those people who sit quiet all the time, you know they have an opinion. You know they're smart. You know they maybe run a good business. It's your job to maybe ask the people who are quiet also, what is your opinion?
Right.
How do you see this? We've heard from everybody at the table, but I haven't heard from you, Karen, or you, Bob. Tell me what your opinions are. Because often they're not going to be the ones that agree with everything.
Right.
They're not going to say, well, I agree with Angie, and that's it.
Yeah.
They're going to have an opinion.
Right.
And so I think that it is also our job to control the room and control the talkers who won't shut up and who always talk and who always have an opinion and who are always going to speak first.
Right.
It's our job to control the table, control the room, control the temperate in the room or temperament in the room, because oftentimes it can get a little unruly. It can get, people can get mad and yell and scream and throw things and, you know, I just think it is up to you to control the environment, make sure everyone's gotten a chance to speak. And then if at the end, your opinion is necessary and it's not always.
Right.
To be able to discern whether you need to give your opinion or not.
Right.
Because it really isn't always necessary for me to say how I feel, because everybody else has already covered it.
Yep, exactly. I have a really quick story about pointing people out, because some people might see that as, oh, why are they shining a spotlight on me? But you need people to get used to that. Mm-hmm. If they're sitting around the table, they were put there for a reason, because someone right. saw potential in them.
Right.
So they need to get used to people asking how they feel. Mm-hmm. So I grew up on a farm. Every day when we were working out in the field, we would come in for lunch and grandma made lunch, and we sat around the table. Mm-hmm. You did not, you know, be on your phone. I mean, this is, you know.
You didn't have a phone.
We didn't have a phone. I didn't have a phone.
I mean, not on your person. It was hung on the wall.
Exactly. So we came in, and we all had lunch together, and it was my uncles, my dad, my grandparents, me, my brother. So it was all adults beside mm-hmm. my brother and I. And we were never told, you know, kids don't speak. That's mm-hmm. not the way it was. But we just didn't mm-hmm. because everybody else was talking about grown-up stuff. And we were just right. in there just enjoying the fried chicken.
Right.
So one particular day, this is a very poignant moment that I remember. We're sitting around the table, and I don't know how old I am at this point, but I'm not old enough to vote by
okay.
far.
Okay.
But there's a discussion going on about riverboat gambling in Missouri. Okay. This was going to be on the ballot.
Okay.
And they were having their discussion. Everybody's weighing in their two cents. And again, this is not a boardroom, but it's a family discussion. And they're yeah. all really good about expressing their opinions.
Yeah.
So I must have been making a face or something. I was, you know. Yeah. Sitting there quietly, but I was doing something.
Yeah. Confusion or...
Because all of a sudden...
Disagreement.
Yeah. And that's what I think it was.
Right.
So all of a sudden, there was a lull in the conversation, and my grandmother looks at me, and my grandma called everybody by their first and middle name. Angela Kay, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm 13, 14. I don't
right.
know. I'm young.
Right.
And I'm like... I just remember sitting back in my seat, and I vividly remember saying, I didn't know, I couldn't vote, but I, you know what was on TV or what sure. you'd heard on the radio.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they say that the money's going to go to education. And if the money goes to public education, then I would vote in favor.
Good answer.
Nobody spoke. My grandmother looked at me, and she said, you'll learn to get all the facts. Mm. And that was a poignant moment in my mm-hmm. childhood that I was called out and expected mm-hmm. to give my opinion. And I knew my grandmother didn't graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. She had to work on the farm. Mm-hmm. She was not educated. But when grandma spoke to you, you better have an answer mm-hmm. because I don't know would not have flown.
Mm-hmm.
So... Right or wrong, I think she was proud of me for yeah. saying what I thought.
Yeah.
Did she agree with me? No, I don't think so,
yeah.
because she had more information than I had.
Right.
But I say that to make sure that just because someone's sitting there quiet doesn't mean that they don't have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to, as a leader, pull it out of them
That's
the
right.
first couple of times. Even if you've created this
That's
environment
right.
where everybody feels like it's a safe space, they don't feel that safe mm-hmm. if they're not willing to say, because they have an opinion.
Right.
So.
Agree.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point to make as we wrap it up here is make sure you get all the facts.
Yeah.
I think lots of things in our world
mm-hmm.
are believed in or not believed in because mm-hmm. you have a small sliver of the facts.
Right.
So.
Good point.
So
yes.
be a better leader and make sure you have all the facts.
That's right.
We want to thank Gershman Mortgage for recording with us. And if you hear this episode and you think of someone, please share it with them. Find us on social media to follow us.
Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.